welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory for all that he has done. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord our God. I give honor to the Spirit of Christ that is in this place. For certainly it is in him that we live, move, and have our very being. I give honor to the leaders of this church, and I certainly give honor to the people of God. I salute you and I greet you in the holy word peace. For it is indeed the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I tell you what, and I've told y'all before, Redeemer, that peace is more valuable than money these days. Are y'all hearing me today? Peace is more valuable than anything you have in the bank right now. I'm letting you know. I know you got investment portfolios, but none of that means anything if you don't have peace in your mind and peace in your house and peace in your heart. In an era where we have a mass school shooting every other month, in an era where it seems to only be getting worse for the oppressed, you need peace in your house. And so I certainly greet you with peace, and I salute you, the people of God, the leaders of this church. Certainly, I give God praise for you. Come on, can we give God praise for this music ministry today? Y'all bless me, man. Y'all always bless me. Listen, let me tell y'all something. I'm back, Redeemer. It's good to be back, y'all. It's my Philly fam right here. And I'm glad to be back. And like I was telling Deacon in the back, that certainly have a wonderful relationship with this church. And I said, when my assistant told me that Redeemer called, I said, well, whatever they want, just tell them yes. I don't know. Just tell them yes. Don't even give me the details. Just tell them yes. That's my people. That's my people. And certainly I've been certainly praying for you, Redeemer. Before I say that, I want to say I haven't seen you since we won the Super Bowl, y'all. You know I had to do it. Fly, Eagles, fly. And so I'm surprised y'all didn't hear me shouting from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And so as a consequence, we celebrate in that regard. But I indeed want to remind you, Redeemer, that I am praying for you. Amen. I'm praying for you even in this season of transition. But please believe me, this is an exciting season, Redeemer. You won't be excited. I'm serious when I say that. I say that with all integrity, because it's an exciting season, because seasons like this make you pray more. Don't miss that. Don't miss what I just said. Seasons like this make you pray more. Seasons like this make you come together more. Seasons like this make you stand on God's word. Can I get a witness here? So you won't be excited, Redeemer, about what God is going to do in the life of this church. Anybody ready for the word of God today? Certainly ready for the word of God. And I want to share a word. It's Pentecost Sunday. Amen. And so I want to share a word, but I want you to travel with me to my favorite gospel, the Gospel of Mark. Go with me to the Gospel of Mark in the 8th chapter of Mark. And I'm grateful to God. As you're going to Mark chapter 8, verse 34 is where we'll meet today. As you're traveling there, I want to say I'm just grateful for, indeed, over the years of sharing with this congregation, I've been able to develop relationships and make friends with people. And it's good to have friends, amen? And I've developed friendships with individuals, and these friendships have become so lucrative in my life that it's more like family, amen? And that's why I always indeed call Redeemer my Philly fam. Mark 8:34, this is the word of the Lord from the New King James Version, Gospel according to Mark. Chapter 8 and verse 34, this is the word of the Lord, and it reads just like this. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I think that'll do. Why don't you pray with me for just a moment, Redeemer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit, please have your way. Move in this place like never before. Save someone. Heal someone. Deliver someone. Edify the body of Christ, but most importantly, God, you be glorified. Allow your manservant to decrease so that you may indeed increase. Please hide me and speak for me. Now, God, we arrest this atmosphere and we come against anything that tries to keep this word from completing its assignment. God, it's got to submit itself to your authority. We understand, God, that you're the only one that can make it happen. So do what you do, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people together said, amen and amen. And when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Redeemer, for the time that is ours to share, if the Spirit of the Lord shall guide, I want to preach from the subject, I prefer power. I prefer, it's Pentecost Sunday, right? I prefer power. Just lean over, help me preach a little bit. Lean over to your neighbor, just nudge him and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Don't get fancy with me. I need the power. I prefer power. Some of you over the years have learned, I was a history, double history and religion major in undergrad. I'm a fan of history. I love history. And I oftentimes find myself watching the History Channel. The History Channel isn't what it used to be, really. The History Channel used to be inundated with documentaries that I would watch. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I would watch all day long different documentaries and stories on people and places all across the world. But now they have amalgamated themselves to like reality television, like every other station. Y'all know what I mean? But History Channel, they oftentimes drop a few good shows on you. And I just happened to be in my office one day, and I don't even watch this particular show on the History Channel, but there's a show about a guy who goes around buying cars. They call him the Count. And I don't really understand the concept of the show. He buys cars and he fixes them up and makes them like hot rods. It's pretty cool if you're into that kind of thing, but I just happened to catch a segment of the show that blessed my entire life. Check this, y'all. He was riding around one day looking for some cars he could buy, and he passed by a car that he just could not pass by. He had to stop, put his car in reverse, knock on this man's door, y'all. It was a phenomenal car. This was a 1942 Corvette, candy apple red. That thing was sweet, y'all. And this thing, it blessed me because he stopped and he was so excited about the car. He knocked on the man's door and an elderly gentleman came out. He asked him about the car and he said, that's my baby right there. I've had that car since the 70s. That's my child. And he said, well, sir, have you ever been interested in selling the car? The elderly gentleman, he simply said, well, I'm getting up there in age now, and I would like to see somebody enjoy the car, or it may be put in a museum. Here's where the story gets good, y'all, because the brother says, all right, so if you're willing to sell the car, how much will you sell it to me for? The elderly statesman thought about it for a minute, and he gave him a price that's so astronomical, I'm not even going to mention it right here. It was a high price. And this brother looked at the elderly gentleman. He said, sir, I know I can't afford your car. There's no way I'll be able to buy that car. I'm in the business of buying cars and fixing them up so people can race them and so people can have hot rods. Now watch this. It gets good, y'all, because he looks at the elderly gentleman and he says, sir, I know that you want this amount for the entire car. He said, but would you be willing to sell the engine? And the elderly statesman looked at him. He said, why in the world would you buy the engine without this beautiful body? Don't you see this candy apple red? Don't you see this leather interior? Don't you see how beautiful this car is? It has all the bells and whistles of a classic car, but you only want the engine. Are you crazy? And the man says, sir, I apologize if I offended you. I'm not crazy, but the reason why I only want the engine is because I want to race this car. He said, and so if you don't want to sell me the body, just sell me the engine, because the engine is where the power is. Woo, it's gonna get good today. See, the engine is where the power is. I don't need the bells and whistles. I don't need the candy apple red. I don't need all your toys with the beauty of the car. All I want really is the power. And child of God, I came here to preach to somebody today and to remind you that we live in a culture where everybody wants prestige. Everybody wants to look good. Everybody wants to ride good. Everybody wants to live good, and that's beautiful. But every now and then, child of God, you'll come against a situation in your life where looking good won't get you out of it. Your Mercedes won't get you out of it. Your Cadillac won't get you out of it. Your Gucci belt won't get you out of it. Sometimes you come against an obstacle of life where you need some power. I'm sorry, I got excited. Where you need some power in your life. Power to speak to things and they change. Power to pray demons off your children, power to pay anointing into your life, power to pray for your spouse when they acting crazy. Am I talking to anybody here who said you can keep all the bells and whistles, but give me power? If you believe it, just do me one favor. Lift your hands like this, throw your head back and shout hallelujah. Yeah, Redeemer. I'm sorry. But he right here at the 9 o'clock hour, I prefer power. I know that shit. I know yesterday. I know, baby, you done made it in life. You done pulled yourself up by the bootstraps. You done put yourself through school. And now you're doing well with your little business. And God has blessed you. But that doesn't mean you come in here and act snobby with the Lord. Because the Bible says, the Lord giveth and the Lord... Y'all, I wish I... And the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm looking for about 55 people here who say, yeah, baby, I'm riding good. I'm living good. But I wouldn't have none of it if it wasn't for God who was on my side. If you believe it, give your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, I prefer power. It's good to be back in Philly. Here it is, y'all. Let's look at it according to the Gospel of Mark. I like what Jesus says here, child of God. I love what he says right here in the text. It is our Jesus, our Lord and Savior, after his disciples have for some chapters been debating about who's going to be the successor of Jesus, who is the greatest disciple. Jesus has to school them on how you want to be like Jesus. Everybody running around saying, I'm a believer, I believe God, I'm a Christian disciple, a follower of the Lord. Well, if you're a follower of the Lord, then you have to adhere to the guidelines right here in verse number 34. I like what he says. He looks at his disciples and says, whoever wants to be like me, the first thing you have to do is deny yourself. If I'm going to preach this thing good, the first move that I have to let you know today is that if you're going to really be like Jesus, you have to put self to the side. Yeah, I know. We don't really like that kind of talk because we live in an individualistic culture. We live in a culture where it's all about me, me, myself, and I. That's all I got to the end. Shout out to my Beyonce fans. All you need to know, child of God, is that we live in a culture where it is so individualistic, where we have a narcissist as a president and we have incompetent senators and leaders. I'm sorry. And so the reality of the matter is, watch what Jesus says, anyone who wants to come after me, if you want to be like me, if you want the power that I have, you have to do a few things. And the first thing is to deny yourself. To deny yourself, Redeemer, it means to humble yourself. To deny oneself is to humble oneself. Jesus says, if you want the power of God in your life, the first thing you've got to do is humble yourself. And to humble yourself is to remind yourself that you are absolutely nothing without God. Did you hear what I just said? To humble yourself is to every single day remind yourself, I am absolutely nothing without God. Need I remind you, child of God? Job tells us, naked I came into this world and naked I shall return. That means I know that you've accumulated some things in life, baby boo thing, but when you leave here, you can't take none of it with you. That's why you got to enjoy life every single day. And life isn't always about stuff. Life is about the people that are around you. That's why I don't always get impressed with money, because money without joy means nothing. Did you hear what I just said? That's why I don't get impressed with fancy cars, because fancy cars without peace means nothing. Am I preaching to anybody here who said, I'm so glad I serve a God who blesses me with more than just stuff? To deny yourself, it means to humble yourself. To constantly remind yourself, I'm nothing without God. I'm absolutely nothing without God. This means I came into this world with nothing. I can't take anything with me. That means the only thing that really matters in this life are the people that God placed around me and God himself. God is the most important thing in my life. That has to be a constant reminder, because the reason why is because if without God, you have nothing. With God, you have everything. Without God, you have nothing. Here it is, child of God. To deny yourself is to constantly remind yourself that I am nothing without God, that I would not be here without the Lord. I want to remind you, child of God, I know you're educated and I celebrate Black education every day of my life, but baby, those little degrees on the wall didn't get there by themselves. Ooh, I feel like having a little church. Is it all right? Those little degrees on your wall don't mean anything if you don't remember who gave you the degree, if you don't remember who got you into school, if you don't remember who gave you the scholarship. Am I preaching to any grateful people here who said, I got to remember that I would be nowhere if it wasn't for the Lord? Okay, let me put it to you like this, child of God. You didn't get here by yourself. That the hand of the Lord was on your life. But not only was the hand of the Lord on your life, but you had something called some ancestors whose shoulders we stand on right now. Don't look at me like you've been a prayer warrior your whole life. The reason why you learned how to pray is because you had a grandmama that was praying for you. You had a praying mama. Your daddy was on the deacon's board and he knew how to get a prayer through unto God. Am I preaching to anybody here who said, there's no way I can take credit for where I am when I had ancestors who marched and bled in the street so I could vote, so I could go to school, so I could be the next president of the United States of America? Shout out to Brother Obama. Never forget, child of God, that the Lord brought you here and the Lord will take you on. But the reason why you're able to stand here, it's because there's some shoulders you're standing on. I know Kanye got real confused. He got real confused hanging in the Kardashian house. Because 400 years of slavery certainly was no choice. But isn't it amazing that through 400 years of slavery, we still here. We still standing and we're still fighting injustice. Gotta put yourself to the side. But secondly, I like what Jesus says, child of God. He says, if you want to be like me, if you want the power that I have, you have to deny yourself. But then he says, you have to take up your cross. That's old school language right there. That's good old school church right there. He says, you have a cross to bear. Everybody has his and her own cross. And I like that. I like what Jesus says there. But sometimes people mistake the thinking of what it means to bear a cross, because most people think that bearing a cross means to suffer. You think that Jesus is telling me I have to suffer the way he suffered. No, you will have to go through. You will have to deal with situations in your life. Just because you're a believer doesn't exempt you from dealing with life situations. Being a believer teaches you how to handle life situations. Now, here it is, child of God, because when Jesus talks about bearing your cross, he's not just talking about suffering. Oh, because if you notice what the cross is in the context of Jesus' life, if you really think about it, I know the cross is the place where he dies. Mm-hmm. The cross is the place where he redeems humanity with God. I understand that. But if you really think about it, Jesus comes to earth to die. His number one purpose was that cross. I know he healed a lot of people on the way. I know he delivered a lot of people on the way. But his healing and deliverance wasn't his purpose for coming to earth. His purpose for coming to earth was to die on the cross. And so the cross, hear me, is his purpose. And so when Jesus says, take up your cross, he says, you need to pick up your oh my God, I feel like having church. He says, when it's time for you to pick up your cross, it's time for you to pick up your purpose. Because God has put a purpose over everybody's life. And the reason why you're still alive right now is because your purpose hasn't already been fulfilled. I know you've achieved some things on the purpose list, but you still got some things to do. I came to preach to somebody here and let you know that in this season, God is going to anoint your purpose. That everything God purposed you to do, God said, all you got to do is get up and do it, because I've got my favor on your life. Redeemer, when he says pick up your cross, he says pick up your purpose. Pick up your purpose and follow me. Follow me with your purpose. Ooh, that's why it's a beautiful thing, child of God, when God has gifted you to do a thing. And some of us are so blessed and privileged that what God gifted us to do, we have it as a career. And so now we work in our purpose and we get paid for it. To God be the glory. Ooh, but that's why I'm always troubled, child of God, when God blesses people with gifts and talents, but they don't use them in the house of the Lord. We don't mind using our gifts and talents in the workplace because we get a check. But what if you forgot something? I think you forgot that I know the workplace gives you the check, but God gave you the job. I wish I had a shouting church in here today. I know Mr. Man gives you the check. I know it's beautiful. You get direct deposit. Don't even have to cash it, baby. But let me remind you, he gives you the check. But God gave you the job. And if God blessed you with gifts and talents, and he gave you a job where you can use it, then surely you can use a few of those talents in the house of the Lord. He said, pick up your purpose and follow me. Pick your purpose up. Pick your cross up. Oh God, and follow me. You've got to follow me into the purpose. Child of God, don't miss it here. Purpose comes with sacrifice. That's all I'm saying. That's my second point. You got to put yourself to the side. But purpose comes with sacrifice. I know you're on Jesus' team, but if you're going to be on this team, you got to be willing to make some sacrifices in this life. Everybody wants to be blessed when the lights come on. But nobody wants to do prayer, and nobody wants to worship when nobody's watching. That's why I hear me, child of God. I am very much impressed with people who love to praise God in church. Come on in here and get your praise on. I don't judge anybody, because watch this. You don't know what your neighbor went through this week. You don't know what the people sitting around you went through this year. Baby, if I feel like doing cartwheels down this church, I got every right to do it. Because you don't know what kind of hell I've been facing I'm sorry, y'all. That's why, yes, I don't judge anybody's praise. If you want to shout, I might shout with you. Because if God is blessing you, surely he's going to bless me. But here it is. I'm impressed with people. I love praise in church. I love people giving God the glory in church. But let me ask you a question, child of God. I know you got a good two-step in church. But is your two-step still effective at home? I know you're praising. You got a good prayer up in church. But I wonder if you're praying on Tuesday. I know you got a good shout on church Sunday. But I can shout on a Wednesday afternoon at the supermarket, baby. I don't need no music when I think about his goodness. I just get happy in my feet. Am I preaching to anybody here who said, I'm going to live out my purpose even if it comes with sacrifice? And the first sacrifice you ought to make is the sacrifice of praise. I'm closing. I prefer power. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm here for the power. If you want the power, first thing you got to do is put yourself to the side. Second thing you got to do and understand is that purpose comes with sacrifice. But finally, child of God, and I know this isn't deep. I know it's not overly theological. But if you're going to get the power, then you got to understand that power comes through following the Savior. Did you hear what I just said? I said power comes through following the Savior. I like this, child of God. The reason why I really like this is because the Bible says, if any of you want to be like me, there's a few things you got to do. First thing you got to do is deny yourself. You got to humble yourself. You got to remind yourself that I'm the one got you covered. The second thing you got to do, child of God, is pick up your cross. Pick up your purpose. And follow the Lord. But the last thing I got to show you is what Jesus says. He says, if you're going to get the power every day, you got to follow me. I know it ain't. I know it's not overly deep and all these kinds of things. But he said, if you want power, all you got to do is follow me. Follow me through my word. Follow me through what I tell you. Follow me in prayer. Follow me in worship. Follow me in fasting. He says, if you want power in your life, then Jesus needs to lead your life. Redeemer, I just came here to remind you that you can't let money lead you. No, child of God, don't fall victim to letting money lead you. Don't be led by having new things. Don't be led by your flesh. Don't be led by what you see with your eyes. You need to see something with your spiritual eyes. Oh my God, this is blessing me, because the word lets me know that I can see the promises of God with these eyes closed, because these eyes don't see the promises of God. My spiritual eyes, my faith is what sees the promises of God. I just came to remind you, Redeemer, don't be led by this stuff in the world, because if you want power, you need Jesus to lead your life. Let me show it to you like this, because the reality of the matter is, and this is how I might bless you, when you follow the world, you reach some success. But it always leads to failure. But when you follow the Lord, you may hit some challenges along the way, but it always leads to victory. Did you hear what I just said? I thought I had a few people that would shout on that. When you follow the world, you'll get some success, but it always leads to failure. But if you follow the Lord, if you let the Lord lead your life, you're going to hit some bumps and bruises along the way, but it always leads to victory. Child of God, I leave you when I tell you that I'm impressed with Jesus says in verse number 1 of chapter 9. If you read it when you get home, get time to do it, I advise you. Because if you look at verse number 1 of chapter 9, you'll notice that Jesus says, assuredly I tell you that some of you standing here will not taste death until you see the power of the kingdom of heaven in your life. What does that mean, child of God? That means Jesus says, I'm not going to let you die until the blessing you've been asking for is manifested in your life. And I wonder if I'm preaching to anybody here today who says, I should have been dead and gone a long time ago, but I serve a God who kept me when I needed to be kept. Yes, Lord. Feel like preaching here. Feel like giving God some glory. Is there anybody here who said, I gotta give God praise every day of my life because God has been good to me? Do me one favor, give your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, I'm here for the power. Power in my household, power over my children, power in my finances. Somebody shout yes. Say yes. Feel like having some church. Feel like giving God some glory. Is there anybody here who said, I thank God for keeping my life, for keeping my family? I want power to speak to the devil and let him know he's defeated. Power to speak to the enemy and let him know he has no victory. Is there anybody in here who feels like shouting today at the early morning service? I got too much to be grateful for. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus, can't nobody do me like the Lord. He walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me that I am his own. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Shall I? Yeah, yeah. Everybody standing all over the church. Now all I'm going to do is say this, and you do with it what you want. If you want big power, you got to give big praise. You missed what I just said. I said if you want big power, you got to give. No, hear me. If you want that little power, you go ahead and give them a little clap. But if you want big power, then you gotta say, I don't care who's sitting next to me. I don't care how much this makeup run. I don't care if I got a new wig on. I gotta give my God. Today. I'm finished. Clap those hands and bless Jesus in this house. Somebody ought to feel better in here right about now. Just look at somebody around you and just say, neighbor, go ahead and get your praise on, because I know you need the power. Say, neighbor, go ahead and get your praise on. Because I know you need the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We gotta go. Woo! Everybody lift your hands. Look up to the Lord. And say, Lord, you've given me some wonderful things. But every day, I need your power. Now praise God in this house of worship. Hallelujah. Listen. I pray that you connected with the ethos of this sermon. The reason why you're standing right now, because of his power. Child of God, hear me. I'm making a plea. You wouldn't have opened your eyes this morning if it wasn't for his power. Listen. Your energy, it'll run out. But when you got the power of God, God has the ability to shift you into another gear and give you the power to go on. I want to pray for you today. I want to believe God for his power in your life. Power to speak to your situation. And it change. Power to not rely on the man of God to lay hands on you. You can get some oil, lay hands on yourself. In Jesus' name. Power to elevate in your career. Power to be successful in your business. Let's pray for power. God, we thank you today for this word. This word that you sent us. We needed it, Lord. Because in some ways, God, some of us have felt weak, lacking in strength. And we needed to be reminded, God, that you're the greatest power source we could ever have. And so, Lord, today we plug into you, whew, seeking a charge from the Lord. I ask God in the name of Jesus that you forgive us again. Because in a real sense, God, everybody from the pulpit to the pew, everybody has sinned. Everybody has fallen short of your glory. And so, God, we're in need of your forgiveness again. But most importantly, God, we are in need of your grace. Your grace that blesses us when we really don't deserve to be blessed. Thank you, Jesus, for all that we have. In a real sense, God, I wouldn't have any of it if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't have anything that I enjoy if it wasn't for you. So, Father, we say thank you. We say thank you, Lord. And now, God, I lift up each and every individual, God, who's been lacking in strength. I speak power to this congregation. I speak power to every disciple. Power in their families. Power on their jobs. Power in school for their children. I speak power even in their finances. Power in their businesses. I pray, God, supernatural miracles over your children right now. I ask, God, in a real sense, don't let us get out of May before we see a supernatural telling of your power. Your word says some standing here will not taste death until you see the power of the kingdom of God manifest. So, God, I realize now there's a reason why you didn't let me die. Because there's still purpose you want me to live out. Help me, God, to pick up my purpose and to follow you. I thank you, God. I'm not stingy with this prayer. I want to pray for my neighbor on my left and my right. And I ask, God, I want them to be so blessed, God, that I ask that you bless them before you bless me. I ask that you lift up my neighbor on my left and my right. I don't know what they need, God, but I know they need you. So whatever they need, Lord, we ask that you provide. Don't do it so we can brag. Do it so we can say, God did this for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said amen. Come on and give God the glory in this house.
That you're powerful.
Listen, if you're here today, child of God, and you said, Pastor Howard, I know you're here and I know you're on assignment for today and for Monday, but you spoke a word into my life that resonated with me. And Pastor Howard, I don't even really know if I'm saved or not, honestly. I'm not sure. Now, if you're not sure if you're saved, you need to get saved. And so if you're here today and you said, Pastor, that word was for me, I want power from that Jesus. And whatever I need to do to know that Jesus, I'll do it today. If that's you, if that's what your spirit is saying right now, why don't you move out of that aisle and come shake these leaders' hands. Shake my hand, but give God your heart today. Shake my hand, but you're going to give God your heart. If you're here, you say, Pastor,
let your power fall.
I want to be saved. I want the Lord in my life.
When your name is called.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Prove
Hallelujah.
The doubt
this is most wrong. Important. This is most important. Amen. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to lead my life. I need Jesus in my heart. I need guidance for real. I need a word from the Lord like you just preached. I need that. I promise. My sister is coming. God, amen. Amen. I need power. That's right, sis.
Nobody
we need power. That's right. That's college.
So
I like that.
I tell
amen, sis. That's right. Is there
friend,
another today? Is there another? There might be another.
You have won.
There might be another who says, Pastor,
again.
I need the Lord in my heart. Help me
let
out,
your
man.
Power
I need to connect with Jesus. Don't let this moment pass.
When your name is
you, hear me. Shh. Don't let this moment pass because you don't know what your next moment looks like. Hello, somebody. You don't know. You're not sure. You can't tell me what you're going to be doing in 5 hours. You can make a plan, but that don't mean it's going to go according to your plan. So don't let this moment pass you by. I want to be saved, Pastor. Hear me. Pastor, I am saved. I've received the Lord Jesus in my life at some point in my life. But I need a community. I need a community of believers that will help me believe. That man who spoke to Jesus, he said, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. When you have moments of doubt like all of us do,
amen.
You need some people that you could that stand with you and say, baby, you're going to be all right because God did it for me. He's going to do it for you too. You need a community, a faith community. And that's what Redeemer is. Redeemer is a faith community. A community that says, I don't just believe God for myself. I believe God for you and you and you and you. That's community. That's a faith community. So if you want to join this church and watch this, if you join, you're joining in an exciting season. You're joining in a very exciting season where much prayer is going to be happening in the months to come. And so as a consequence, you can be a part of the future of this ministry. You can make that decision today. If you're here and that's you, why don't you come? Just move out of that aisle. Take a risk. And come on. And come on. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. The Lord God bless you real good. We had one young sister who came. Did she come? Come on, give God praise for our sister who came. Oh, y'all not praying. Come on now. That's a college. She's a college student, isn't it? She's a college student saying, I need power. I needed power to come on somebody who went through college. Come on and celebrate Jesus and celebrate salvation all over this church. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm here for the power.